trip over that. Amen. Good stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Just neat to hear Miss Alyssa Mills sing, and then Miss Stephanie, and in the youth department when I was the youth director, and now in the college and career class, their parents are getting old. It's just amazing. They're just a blessing. Good stuff. Amen. Well, it's good preaching this morning. Amen. Well, let's all stand this morning again, once again, in honor of God's Word. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew again in chapter number 13. It's Matthew chapter number 13. If you're here last night, we preached on that parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And we know this, that in verse 36, Jesus sent the multitude away, and then he went into the house, and his disciples came into the house and asked about the parable of the tares and wanted him to explain that, and so he did. And then where you and I are going to pick up this morning is in verse number 44, but I did want to mention all of that to you so that you would understand that gives weight to what he is about to teach his disciples. Look at verse number 44. I love this stuff. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. So shall there be wailing there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Can I just say this, that Jesus preached a great deal on hell? He really did. Now, let me just kind of give you something here. There's three little parable stories that he gives here, and no doubt you can preach all of them one at a time. I've done it. But you know what I found? I found out this, that they all kind of go together. You'll notice it says, again, again, again. Remember the scene. He's there with his disciples, and he's now explained the wheat and the tares, and now he begins to give them this other lesson. If you notice verse 51, it says, "Jesus said unto them, Have you understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord." And I just kind of wonder in the back of my mind, did they really understand it? And then in verse 52 it says, Then said he unto them, "Therefore every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things old and things new." You know what I found is that when you put all of this together, it begins to give us really a great lesson here, that what Christ is giving his disciples, the kingdom of heaven is of great value. Friend, it's a treasure. Hey, listen, it gives us eternal life. Well, that's good stuff. But for those of us that realize this, we need to understand that that treasure is not meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be given out. And so here's the question that I'm going to ask you this morning. How valuable is the kingdom of heaven to you? How valuable is the kingdom of heaven to you? And here's what I've discovered. We might all say this, oh yeah, it's of the most value. But let's be honest this morning. The value of something isn't determined by what we say it is. It's determined by what we do with it. Come on, friend, it's determined by how important it is to us. It's determined by where it's prioritized in our life. See, we might all say, oh yeah, sure, Brother Wesley, the gospel, the kingdom of God, the things of God, they are all important to me. But if God's getting nothing more than your leftovers, then you got to be honest, they're not really that important to you. Does that make sense? And so I'm just, hey, listen, if the souls of men and giving out the gospel is low on your priority list, then the kingdom of God is not really that valuable to you. I want to ask you this morning, how valuable is the kingdom of heaven? And listen, as we begin to get into this morning, if you're saved this morning, I think you'll rediscover once again it's of great value. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for, Lord, already the good preaching this morning. Lord, thank you for the testimony of the Savior and His boldness, and Lord, the way that He confronted the opposition, and oh dear God, how we need, Lord, not just in this generation, but in every generation, that boldness to confront the culture and the lost people around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm afraid we won't do that if we don't realize, Lord, how valuable that message is to us, and it holds a dear place in our heart, and we have a close walk with You. Lord, thank You for Brother Hetzer and the message, and thank You, Lord, for leading me in preaching this and studying this out. And Lord, it's amazing to me to see how You put messages together. And I just pray, Lord, that these folks that are here this morning would understand that. And Lord, that when You do things like this, it's because You're trying to get a message across to them, and You're trying to get a hold of their hearts this morning. And so, Lord, thank You for the soul that was saved last night, the gospel that was preached. But God, help us this morning to, Lord, those of us that are saved, to just realize, Lord, how good You are to us. And, oh God, that we would fall in love with You all over again. And so bless in the preaching, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Sometimes we need reminders, don't we? I found in my own life that I need these reminders of who I am and who God really is. I know as an earthly father, I've had to do this with my children quite frequently, and Natalie and I both, and there are times where they get a little too, you know, this is the good southern vernacular right here, but they get a little too big for their britches, so to speak. And we have to remind them that they're not in charge, we are. We don't need them, they need us. Is everybody with me this morning? Come on, I'm just telling you, sometimes kids are that way, but I've also found this, that the children of God can be much the same way. Come on, friend, there are times where I find myself getting a little too big for my britches, and God having to put me in a place and remind me that, hey, friend, I don't need you, but You sure need me. And we need to be reminded. You know, and here's what I found out, that when He puts me in that place and I realize, hey, listen, He's holy, He's the high and lofty one, and I'm not, and that I need Him, here's what I found out, that when that happens, what usually takes place is this: I start doing some reprioritizing in my life. Come on, He becomes preeminent where He should have been from the get-go, but He wasn't because I set Him down and put myself up there. I'm just telling you, here's what I found, that when you realize the value of something, the responsibilities begin to change, the priorities begin to change. It's no different when something in your garage has been sitting out there collecting dust, and all of a sudden you find out, man, it's priceless. It's valuable. You don't just leave it out there to still collect dust. You bring it in, clean it off, and put it up on the shelf for everybody to see. But sometimes, friend, you and I can do that with the gospel, and you and I can do that with the things of God. You and I can do that with our walk with God. We find God out there in the garage where He is not supposed to be. So my question then comes to this: how do we get this way? Well, let's be honest, friend. American Christianity as a whole has fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. Come on, friend, they're in love with themselves. Come on, friend. Hey, listen, think about this and just consider how sermons are today. Sermons have become more about what God can do for me in the temporary than what I can do for God in the eternal. No, friend, I'm not saying that we shouldn't trust God for our daily needs, and we shouldn't ask God for those things, and we shouldn't bank on God for those things, but I'm just telling you, friend, it's become more about God giving me this and God giving me that and God doing this for me than what I can do for God. And even church services have become geared now to the entertainment of men. Come on, it's not about worshiping God in spirit and truth. You know what worship means? It means to ascribe worth to. And it's not about worshiping God in spirit and truth these days. It's about worshiping self and ascribing worth to self. And that's why the walls are now painted black and the disco balls hanging from the ceiling and the rock band is on the stage. Well, why? Because it's become about entertaining men. And that's what it's become. And even God, He's become this spare tire that we pull out when we need Him, and we live like the devil, and we mess things up when we do that. And then all of a sudden we want to pull God out of the trunk to fix everything. And then when things calm down and things start going right again, we shove God back in the trunk where He supposedly belongs. I'm telling you, that's what's going on in our day. and time. And listen, and here's why American Christianity as a whole has done this. Here's why. It's because we've departed from this book. And listen to this. When you depart from the Word of God, you lose the true sense of who God really is and who you and I really are. Come on, friend. No. We lose the understanding. Please get this. Hey, God is still holy. We lose that understanding and we lose the reality, friend, that His judgment is real and that hell is real and that we are sinners that are in need of a Savior. And we lose that sense, friend. But listen, no. Well, you know, God is love. I mean, God, I get that. God is love. The Bible says that. But can I also say this? It also says God is a consuming fire. And we better understand, friend, that it's not Him that needs us. It's us that needs Him. And we have forgotten those things. And here's the thing. When all of that's going on all around us, you know what I find? Is that stuff begins to influence us. Even us who have the truth and who still preach the book and still hold to those things. I'm just telling you, it influences us. Come on, friend. You get over to Revelation chapter 2 and read about the church at Ephesus when Jesus Christ addresses them. Now, there's a church that knew the truth and held to the truth. I mean, so much so that when someone came in, some false prophet, and claimed to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood that he wasn't. They found him out to be a liar. And here's why. Because he didn't match up with the qualifications given in the Word of God. And Jesus commended them on that, but yet he stepped back and said, yet I have somewhat against thee. And here's what he said, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Somewhere along the way, they got too big for their britches. They lost that sense of understanding and acknowledgement, friend, that, hey, listen, He is God. And we need Him, not He needs us. I read a quote a couple of weeks ago, and I just wrote it down. I thought it was really good. I can't remember the preacher that said it, but he said it like this, and I think it describes kind of where we're at. And here's what he said. He said, we weep over fiction and yawn over truth. Isn't that true? Come on, friend, this generation, and listen, not just this generation, not to pick on you guys, but I'm just telling you, it's getting in every generation where we get more stirred up over a movie or some fictitious book or some form of entertainment than we do the truth of God's Word. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you this morning is this, is that the old story has become an old story. And friend, it shouldn't be that way. Because, listen, and here's why I say that. Because that's been manifested in our own little passion for the gospel and what we've been doing with it. But here in this parable, you know what Jesus does? I mean, listen, He's just given the wheat and the tares and explained some very clear things here that either you're lost or you're saved. Either you have no fruit or you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. My friend, or either you're dying and on your way to hell or you're dying and on your way to heaven. And then Jesus begins to sit His disciples down and begins to remind them about this gospel message and its value and the kingdom of heaven. And listen, it's to be a treasure and it's to be near and dear to the heart. And your life is to revolve around the truth of God's Word and all of the things that are in it, friend. And listen, and we're to be looking for every opportunity to give that treasure out so that they might partake of it. So notice here, number one, let's look at verse number 44. Let's get into this thing. Look what it says. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And I kind of call this the revelation of value, because this first parable, it likens the kingdom of heaven to a treasure. And a treasure is buried in a field. And this man comes along. He's obviously not the owner of the field. Maybe he's walking somewhere and taking a shortcut through this guy's field. We don't know. But he discovers this treasure. And once he discovers it, I think he's pretty smart. He buries it back. And then he goes with great joy and excitement and sells all that he has and goes back and buys this field. Now, let's just make a side note here to say, let's not become like a foolish critic like so many commentators have done. And they start accusing the Savior of teaching that it's okay to deceive people out of, you know, buying their property and having something value. That's not what Jesus was trying to teach here. Is everybody with me? That's not what he was saying here. What he was saying here was that the teaching, he's teaching this, that the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure, and it's of great value. And the word treasure, it means something precious. It means wealth. And here's why the kingdom of heaven is of great value. It is the message of eternal life. Okay, that's only for all eternity. Yeah, we get more stirred up by the things of the world than... Hey, listen, we get to live forever. And ever. And ever. And ever. Hey, listen, the value of any treasure is based upon what it offers. More worldly treasures only offer up temporal wealth. You can't take it with you. But this treasure, friend, it offers up eternal wealth. It offers up eternal life. And the Bible, you know what the Bible says? It says this: we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means this: we get what He gets. Come on, that's what an heir is. I mean, my children, when I die, they'll get what I leave them, which probably won't be much. But even if it is a lot, please get this: it's temporal at best. What you and I get in Jesus Christ... Oh, son, I'm just telling you, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. You understand, friend, that it offers up eternal life? I wasn't raised in a Christian home and brought up in church or any of those things. I got saved at the age of 20. I mean, I was totally ignorant of the Scriptures. I mean, I look back now, 20 years back, and I think, man, how ignorant I was. I mean, I'm still ignorant in a lot of things, but how ignorant I was then. I mean, all I understood then was, I'm dying and on my way to hell, and I need to be forgiven of my sin. God is real. His Son is the Savior, and I need to be saved. And I called on the Lord and got saved. But I was like the blind man, friend. All I knew was I was once blind, and now I see. And I knew that I was saved and on my way to heaven. But as I began to study, I began to realize all of this stuff that took place just that night that I got saved. That night that I got saved, I received eternal life. Amen. Son, I'm just saying now, listen, everything that we do and everything that we are in this realm of things is by time. And you and I, friend, I'm just telling you, in our finite bodies and minds, we can't even comprehend all that is eternity. But I'm just telling you, listen, right then I received eternal life and was forgiven of my sins and received a home in heaven. And then I thought about other things that I got in that very moment. I now have access to the Heavenly Father. I can go straight to His throne to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad for that? And listen, and in that moment, I received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, and He brings that peace that passes all understanding. He gives that joy through trials. Friend, I can depend on my rock and my strong tower and my defense. And you understand, listen, hey, I've got crowns waiting for me. Maybe just one, I don't know. Maybe even half of one, I'm not sure. But I still have an opportunity in this life of the Lord tarries to get some more. And it really doesn't matter how many I get, because I know this, that one day I'm going to see Him as He is, because I shall be like Him. And I get to take all them crowns and just throw them at His feet. Oh, my soul. Hey, we could go on and on and on about this stuff. And boy, it's good. I love it. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. You can't put a dollar sign on that. You can't put a dollar sign on that. It's of great value. You know what else I thought about? Listen, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven here. Can I say this? It's also a message of abundant life. Come on, Jesus said in John 10:10, I love that I came that they might have life and have a life more abundantly. And remember, the kingdom of heaven, we know this and understand this. It'll be a tangible kingdom one day, but for now, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's the rule of God upon the hearts of willing subjects. As Jesus would say in Luke 17:10, the kingdom of God, it's not here or there, it's within you. And you understand that when a child of God yields themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and surrenders their life to follow Him, that they will find that in this life, that is of the greatest value. That, friend, that government doesn't know how to make life work, and that culture doesn't know how to make life work, but there is a God in heaven that created you in His image and sent His Son to die for you, and He knows how to make life work. life work. I hit a milestone this past year. Well, the year before I turned 40. And so when it got to April of this year, I got saved at the age of 20, and so I've now been saved longer than I've been unsaved. And can I just say this, that in the time that I've been saved, it sure has been a whole lot better than the time I was lost. Oh, my soul friend, listen, for those that think that God's people are a bunch of stick in the mud and don't have any fun, you are wrong. Man, I've had some of the best joy and fun and laugh so hard my jaws hurt the next day just being around God's people and fellowshipping and having a good time. And I'm just telling you, friend, it's just God has changed my life. I could sit here, and I don't want to glorify on sin and stuff like this. And some of you know my testimony. When I was 11 years old, that was the first time I got drunk. By the time I was 20, I mean, I was full-blown into alcohol and wasn't even able to purchase it on my own. My life was a mess, and I'm lost and living for the garbage of this world. And all of a sudden, God steps in and forgives me of my sin and gives me a home in heaven and turns my life completely upside down, gives me a godly wife, gives me 3 precious children and now 1 on the way. Man, I'm telling you, calls me into the ministry and allows me to preach His Word, gives me the privilege to pastor one of His churches. And listen, not only that, friend, but just the things that go on in my personal life. He gives me joy in my trials, gives me peace when I don't understand what's going on. I'm telling you, He meets my needs day in and day out. There have been times where Natalie and I have just stopped and sat back and just cried and wept and praised God and said, "Oh my soul, I can't believe what God is doing." We're just without words to describe His goodness and His grace, friend. Why? Because we surrender to Him and we're living for Him and He has blessed us with an abundant life. And you can't put a dollar sign on that. You just can't. And that's why Jesus says it like this, that the kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure. It's of great value. It's of great wealth. And if you notice here, he finds this treasure. And notice what else it says here, though. It says this, that this treasure, it was hid. It's hid in the field. And now listen, there's a couple of things here we could say. It's certainly hid to them that are lost. More friend, the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them, unto them. We understand that tonight, friend, or this morning, that listen, the lost are, they don't understand this. They don't understand their condition. They don't understand who God really is. You know, Jesus said in John chapter, it's amazing that the world knows John 3:16, but they don't know John 3:39 that talks about the wrath of God abides on you. They don't understand, friend, that God is holy. And that man is sinful. And that one day he's going to stand before God and be judged of his sin. And please get this, it's what you do with your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's what you do with your sin that you're going to be in account for when you stand before God. And the only one that can meet that need is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. But can I also say this, that, and I just want to kind of point this out, that this message is also hid to the rebellious believer. Well, friend, I've seen folks get saved and then not add the things of God into their life and not deny the old man and put on the new man, and eventually they run back to the old man, and hey, listen, they're just as miserable as if they were lost. And I love this. Notice this word. It says this, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth that field. The word found here is the Greek word horisko. It's where we get our word, our English word, eureka. Come on now, we're close to Branson. Eureka. You understand, he finds this treasure and he goes, "Whoa!" And then with joy, he runs back and sells everything that he has. Why? Because he knows that which he found is of far greater value. But I'm just telling you, if you look at those who are denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ and not surrendering to Him, you know what they're doing? They're looking to the fields of the world, friend, and trying to find joy, and trying to find peace, and trying to find all the things that God promises to give them if they'll just surrender to Him, friend. And I'm just telling you, they are men most miserable. They're miserable. And it's not until you surrender. And I love that psalm, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And friend, it's not until you surrender and you give into those things, friend, that you won't discover that value of it. See, understand, friend, it's of great value. It offers up that abundant life. It offers up, eternal life. But here's something else. Because Jesus goes on with these other parables and He begins to give us really the reasons for its value. And I know that we've kind of hit on these, so I won't be too long right here, but I just want to give you the first reason. And the first reason, this treasure, this message of the kingdom of heaven, it's of great value. And here's why: because of the Redeemer. Look at verse 44. I'm sorry, 45 and 46. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So now we understand this parable has a similar message as the previous parable. Something of great value is found and sought after. And that's the same thing as the previous parable. But note, it's key that you see this, and I want you to pay attention right here. In this parable, the kingdom of heaven is not likened to the pearl. Are you getting this? It's likened to the person. Did you get that? The kingdom of heaven is likened unto the merchant man seeking pearl. Stay with me. Please get this. And I want something that's not in my notes here. And I get kind of nervous when I veer away from my notes. Can I just put a little disclaimer in here and say this? Do not develop doctrine from parables. Unless Jesus Christ Himself gives you the interpretation of it, be careful. And so we understand that there are a lot of ways we could apply this, and I know that I've heard men misapply this and say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto pearls, but it's not. It's likened unto a man seeking pearls. And we could certainly apply this to us being the merchant men and going out and seeking those pearls. But here's the problem with that. We can't purchase them. But there is one that done the purchasing. Please get this. You know who the merchant man is here? It's Jesus. And you know who the pearls are? Okay, you got it. You know what He's saying? He's saying this: we're of great value to God. I wonder how many of you shout at a ball game, but you can't shout at that. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, friend, and we are the pearls, and we are of great value to God. And because He loved us, He gave all that He had to purchase us. Come on, friend, He left the portals of glory. You know all that stuff we're getting? He left it all to come and die on the cross, give up His own self so that we might be saved, that He might purchase us to Himself. Just chew on that one for a while. I would say put it in your pipe and smoke it, but don't be smoking pipes. Or weed or anything. Yeah, I mean. Don't get me in trouble, brother. I'm already in trouble. Listen, look at verse 47. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net, like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And so this really kind of gives us the second reason. Listen, the first parable talks about the Redeemer, and this parable tells us what you and I are redeemed from. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net, which it was cast into the sea. And then it was gathered up of fish and any sea creatures of all kinds. Now, I'm from the Gulf Coast, and so I'm just sitting here thinking in my mind that here they pull the net up, and there's scallops in there, maybe mullet. You know, there's mullet besides the haircut, mullet. Maybe some oysters and grouper and those kind of things. But the idea here is this, is that when it was full, it was dragged to the shore, and the fishermen started taking that which was good and edible and throwing away that which was bad. And in verses 49 and 50, Christ tells us what this means. It's during the end of the world, and the angels are going to sever between the wicked and the just, the tares and the wheat. And the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. And what Christ is trying to show His disciples is this, is that the kingdom of heaven is of great value. It's a treasure because it offers eternal life. And I've come to purchase that eternal life. And this is what I'm rescuing mankind from. That in Him we can be redeemed. We can be found just. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because He gave Himself onto the cross of Calvary. Friend, we don't have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are redeemed. We are not appointed under wrath. We escaped the judgment, friend, of an almighty, holy God. You see, here's the point. The kingdom of heaven is not just to be valuable because of those temporary blessings that God sometimes throws in our paths. It's to be valuable to us because here's why. Because He loves you and me. Because He sent His Son to die for us. Because of our sin, you and I were headed to a place called hell, but because of Him, we can have a home in heaven and eternal life. John said it like this. I love the way John put it in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:19, later on he says this, we love Him because He first loved us. Hey, it's not just about what you get. It's about who you get. What a treasure. What a treasure. Look at verses 51 and 52. And Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? And they saith unto Him, yea, Lord. I just think sometimes there ought to be a question mark right there instead of a period. Bless their heart. I do know this, though, that the apostles, the disciples here, they were totally different men in the book of Acts after that resurrection, weren't they? So He asked them if they understand these things, and then He said unto them, notice this little parable right here, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So you understand, he tells them the value of the kingdom of heaven. It's a treasure. And then He says, here's why it's a treasure, because I'm purchasing their salvation and I'm rescuing mankind from hell. And then He looks at His disciples and says, now get this, here's your responsibility here. And He tells them that every scribe that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a householder. That's basically a homeowner. And the householder is to bring out of his treasure, what's in his house, the things that are in his house, things new and things old. And by the way, the things old here doesn't mean of less value. The word old here means the word antique. And a lot of times what we find is the antique is just as much or if not more value than that which is new. What He's saying is that you are now responsible. That you've heard this and you understand this. And that's why He asked them if they understood it in verse 51. What He's saying here is this. That this treasure of the gospel and this salvation and this eternal life, it's not meant to be hoarded. It's meant to be given out. Because you now understand the judgment of God and who rescues men from that judgment, you now have the responsibility to give that message out. Maybe we could say it like this. Because you now understand the value of the message and what's at stake for the people around you, you now have the responsibility to offer it to them. I have a garage at my house and it's full of a lot of junk. It's crazy, man. We got to rent storage places to store more junk. And I'm pretty bad about it. I just, listen, if it's of no value to me, I can't use it. I just throw it out there and it just sits out there, collects dust. But my wife, she's a lot better at this stuff than me. And a lot of times, especially with like old clothes and things like that are, you know, our kids, they've worn them and they're outgrown them, and she'll be getting ready to put some old clothes away for our kids and things that we can no longer use. And you know what she'll do? She'll start thinking of people, families in our church, and, you know, they got smaller kids and think, you know what, they can use this and they can use this and they can use that. And so she'll just store it and write their name on it and set it to the side. And then the next time we go to church, we'll drop it off to them and say, hey, see if your kid can wear these things. And here's what I found. You know why she does that? Well, it's really two reasons. It's first off, it's this. It's because she still sees value in those old clothes, even though at one time my kids wore them. And she also sees they'll benefit other families. And so instead of throwing them away or, you know, just throwing them out there in the garage and letting them collect dust, she does something with it. But it's kind of like what Christ is trying to get across to his disciples, if I can say it like that. You see, the reason we don't give it out anymore is because it's become of little value to us. I don't know, friend, we've just thrown it out there in the garage of our hearts. And we've forgotten at one time, you know what? We sure needed that message. What I'm telling you, a little over 20 years ago, I'm sure glad there was a man of God standing in that pulpit preaching that message. Because I needed it. In fact, I was sitting here last night and preached the message on the parable of the wheat and the tares, and there were people coming up to me and going, that message, man, it made me go back in my mind's eye to when I got saved. You know what you were saying? I sure needed that message at one time in my life. So maybe what we need to do, though, is get back to that old cross and be reminded of who we still are. And who God still is. Amen. And that, yeah, we needed that message then, but we still need that message now. Right. And maybe once we start realizing its great value, maybe we'll start realizing, hey, it's not just can help me. It can help that family. It can help that coworker. It can help that member of our family or whatever it is around you. Is anybody getting this? And we'll take it. So how valuable is the kingdom of heaven to you? We can all say it is. But really what determines how valuable it is what you're doing with it. Christ says, listen, it's a treasure. And it's because it gives you eternal life. And once you understand that and realize that in your own soul, now you have the responsibility to do something with it. Let's all stand. With every head bowed and